live all over D.C. on 106.7 The Fan, and for the next 3 hours in Richmond, AM 910, FM 105.1, coast to coast on the Odyssey app and via video wherever you are, the YouTube page. Go check us out, 106.7 The Fan's YouTube page. Grant and Danny out and about. Our Friday field trip today, Craft House Fairfax, will be here until 6:30.
This place rules. I'll keep that very simple. I see lots of beers. I can't even count how many Daryl taps there are here. I also see beers in the fridge, and all the foodstuffs are tremendous. There's a pile of nachos on that table that's like bigger and taller than your head. I had a grilled cheese. It's not just a regular grilled cheese. That was a buffalo chicken grilled cheese. So take your regular grilled cheese and get on down the line with that. Awesome. I love the spot.
Is that a Daryl Tapp player or Daryl Tapp coach? He's done both for the Commanders.
Well, on the left bank of taps is Daryl Tapp the player.
Okay.
The right bank over there, that's Daryl Tapp the coach.
A little more authoritative and professional.
Yeah, because right. there's fewer taps. It's not frivolous. That right set of taps divided by the brick wall.
Commanders have a bright future. We're talking about their chance to get 7-2 today. It's time for you to plan your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show is the law firm Condori & Murrah. They will help you update your last will and testament or set up a trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Love our guys. Condori and Murrah, we're hitting the road with them again. Hopefully they protect us in Philly at Lincoln Financial Field.
I was told there's a ton of private security traveling with us, like we're foreign dignitaries. Can you confirm that?
I hope that's true. Yeah. That's the only way I'm going to feel confident.
So I clap my hands one time on a Jaden Daniels first down pass, I don't get...
Are you going to rock some burgundy and gold that day?
Maybe underneath. Maybe like in a lower layer. I'm just going to sit there quietly with my hands folded, just happy to be there.
Let's scout the opponent. Let's learn about the New York Giants. Daryl Slater, NJ.com and the Star Ledger, joins us now. Daryl, thank you so much for a couple of moments. So we know the record, 2-6. I mean, what would you tell us about this Giants team? Are they what their record says they are?
Yeah, they are. I mean, and they have been just inept offensively and especially inept at home. They have just pretty much not been able to get in the end zone at all at home. They have one touchdown and four home games are 0-4 at home. They obviously are done with Daniel Jones. They wanted Jaden Daniels, but they didn't lose enough at the end of last season. So, as you guys know, of course, Tommy DeVito beating the Commanders, right? So, this team is not in a good place. They played better, especially on offense against Pittsburgh, but didn't do enough to win the game. And they have major issues on their offensive line without Andrew Thomas and they just have a quarterback who isn't good enough, and that's been where they're at. So they do have some bright spots, certainly Malik Nabers, but overall this is a team that's still very much rebuilding.
Is there any acknowledgement from Giants fans of what you just talked about? And I don't know how you would do it, I guess, to rub their face in it, but we argued a lot with fans last year as Washington lost their final 8 games. This is what should happen. The higher they pick, the better, regardless of who they take or who they like. Meanwhile, Tommy DeVito was doing the, you know, chicken parm bit, and everyone's hugging each other and clapping like seals as they're winning empty calorie games. Is there an acknowledgement that ruined everything?
I mean, I was writing it. I mean, I don't know. I guess some fans got just overly taken by it just because this team hadn't won really much at all. I mean, they are 2-6. This is the 7th time in 8 seasons that the Giants have hit the 8-game mark of a season, essentially the midpoint, with 2 wins or fewer. The 7th time in 8 seasons. So this is a win-starved fan base. They started 2-8 last year. And, of course, the 2-8 came in that they dropped the 2-8 in Tommy DeVito's first start. That was the first game post Daniel Jones' ACL. And it sort of looked like, okay, at that point, they were trending toward Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, Drake May territory. Then they closed 4-3 after starting 2-8. And I think we wrote it right after that game in Washington, in Landover. You know, this is a game that really hurts their draft position, and it did. I mean, you saw in Hard Knocks, Brian Daboll straight up said he wanted to trade up for Jaden Daniels. At that point, it was not going to happen. I mean, the Drake May thing was the only iron in the fire they had, and they wanted him too. And they wanted to be done with Dale Jones, even though they would have had to keep him this year because of his contract. But, I think any sensible Giants fan should have understood or should now at least understand what a potentially franchise crippling for several years thing that was for them to close 4-3 with 3 of those wins coming with Tommy DeVito playing. Because if Jaden Daniels continues to be as good as he looks like right now, I mean, the Giants don't get a quarterback next year who they wind up winning a lot with, then they're going to look back on this and really regret what happened at the end of the 2023 season.
Darryl Slater, NJ.com, with the scouting the opponent, talking New York Giants. So my nerves come from, A, the fact that Washington doesn't play well against the Giants. I know that's it's been different this year. Everything's different for us. But even still, for the last five matchups and even beyond have gone the Giants' way. And this pass rush, 20 sacks between Lawrence, Ojulari, and Burns. Washington's been really lucky in terms of, you know, sack fumbles and some of those kinds of turnovers. They're due for one of those games that happens all the time in the NFL, and a great pass rush is maybe what can do it. That's kind of what I'm looking at here, Darryl. Your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the one team that Daniel Jones does seem to play well against. I mean, now, granted, their offense didn't do a whole lot. The Giants didn't in that first game, but they're 21-18, right? So, but for this Giants team, that's an offensive explosion. But defensively, they need to get home with what you said. You know, they need to have Dexter Lawrence be the guy who looks like one of the best interior defensive linemen in the league, a guy who's in the conversation certainly for defensive player of the year. And Brian Burns, I don't know, he's never going to live up to the contract and the trade. It was a huge investment, but he's been really, really good. To his credit, he has been very good and playing hurt too, playing through a groin injury, now playing through a sore Achilles. He has been excellent, and they haven't missed Kayvon Thibodeau one bit. And by the way, he is not a particularly, great pass rusher, certainly hasn't shown to be one. So Azeez Ojulari has been a more than capable replacement for Kayvon Thibodeau, a guy in Ojulari who's struggled with durability issues throughout his career. So yeah, I think that's a way, and that's what the Giants were going to have to do to win in Pittsburgh. They were going to have to get a big defensive play. And as we know, they did. They got the fumble that turned the ball over to their offense, and then the T.J. Watt strip sack, everyone knows. They saw it. I mean, they got what they needed, and so they need that to happen again. But this time, of course, they need their offense to actually take advantage of that. And so, yeah, I think that there's certainly a potential matchup advantage there for the Giants.
Will this team, talking about the Giants, sell at the trade deadline?
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at who are they going to sell. Like Darius Slayton, I guess, could be a guy that could be moved. Like, I guess maybe Ojulari, if you think Kayvon Thibodeau is coming back, because Ojulari is in the final year of his contract, of his rookie deal. I don't know what you're getting for guys like that, but they don't really have a lot of tradable pieces that they would trade. You know what I mean? Like, teams would love to have Dexter Lawrence, but they're not trading Dexter Lawrence. So the mid-level type players, I think Slayton's the guy to watch in that regard.
Why have they been so bad stopping the run? It feels to me like Washington's going to be able to run the ball. They're dead last statistically. Has it actually been that bad?
Awful. Awful. I mean, you saw Brian Robinson ran right through him at the end of that game in week two. And it happened with Saquon Barkley, of course. And then it happened with Najee Harris last Monday night in Pittsburgh. I mean, this team has not been able to stop the run to save their lives. And I think part of it comes from they really miss Leonard Williams, the guy they traded away last year. And they did get good draft capital for him, but they really miss him as a run-stopping presence in the middle there. We know Lawrence is a really good player, but that's been a major issue. They've had big-time problems tackling with their safeties at the second, two-and-a-half, really third level, I guess. Obviously, you don't want a guy to get to that point as a running back, but they've had significant tackling issues, and they don't really have anyone on the interior of that line who's a really good run-stopper. They have not been able to capably replace Leonard Williams there.
Is Tyrone Tracy going to play?
It looks like he will, yeah. He's in the final stage of the concussion protocol, and right probably now as we're talking, he is meeting with the independent neurologist, and this is the final checkup for him. He's trending toward I would be surprised if he was not cleared, honestly. And he is a guy who, the perfect example of why you don't draft a running back second overall and don't pay the guy an insane amount of money and don't franchise tag him and do all the things they did with Saquon Barkley, absent paying him like a long-term contract. But, fifth-round running back who has college wide receiver experience, he's a nice little find for them. Not even little. He's been a nice find for them. He was great in Pittsburgh, one of their few bright spots in that game. But, yeah, it looks like he will play, yes.
Darryl Slater's with us, NFL reporter and analyst, New Jersey Advance Media, the Star Ledger, on Grant and Danny. We're scouting the Giants. It does seem like, speaking of Tracy, that their draft was pretty good. Maybe it's too early to celebrate it, but – I mean, how much of a help is that going to be for Joe Shane in the grand scheme of things? I know there's some movement toward major wholesale changes with him and Dable. Seems like the early returns on that draft class from this past year are really good.
I mean, it's saving him because the first two drafts were pretty bad. I mean, the seventh overall pick in 2022, Evan Neal, a right tackle who can't get on the field, even with all the issues they've had with Andrew Thomas out, right? You'd think they all just move Jermaine Illuminor, your right tackle, over to left tackle and start Evan Neal. Nope, they won't even put him on the field. I mean, that was and the Thibodeau pick does not look good. Josh Azudu in round three, another bad offensive lineman in 2022. This draft has really made up for that. I mean, Neighbors looks like a really good player. Tyler Newbin, a safety in round two, looks solid. Their slot corner, Drew Phillips, in round three, looks like a really good player. Tracy in round five. So they've gotten some production from this draft so far. Yeah, definitely looks like a good one. And this was a draft that Joe Shane could not afford to miss on after, you know, whiffing most notably on Evan Neal and Azudu in that first draft in 2022.
You touched on this O-line, Daryl. Give me a state of the union of that group right now.
Bad. I mean, well, look, okay, maybe I'm being overly...
I'm sorry.
They are better as a pass blocking. So here's where the numbers get skewed. They were the worst pass blocking offensive line in the league last year. They were a middle of the pack group before Andrew Thomas' injury, and that is a crippling injury. Crippling. They haven't been able to run block great. Now, that's changed the last couple weeks, right? So they've gotten better in that area. The problem is they have no answer for replacing Andrew Thomas. And I know when you lose your left tackle, especially one as good as Andrew Thomas, that's going to be crippling. So what did they do, right? They knew that Josh Azudu could not start at left tackle. They tried it last year. He did not do well. They knew that Evan Neal had issues at right tackle, so they signed Jermaine Illuminor, a guy who can play left tackle. Andrew Thomas gets hurt this year. What do they do? They put Azudu out there, and he's bad. On Monday night, they played Chris Hubbard, and he played one of the worst games you'll ever see. He allowed 12 pressures. I think his PFF grade was like 9 for pass blocking. And they're going to start him again this week. He's their left tackle this week because they don't trust Azudu. So they have no, and their interior line is not great pass blocking wise. As all three of those guys, John Runyon, John Michael Schmitz, Greg Van Roten, you know, solid enough players, but not good pass blockers. So Illuminor had been really good pass blocking. You can't kill him, I don't think, for the TJ Watt thing, because Daniel Jones was supposed to move a blocker, a tight end, over there to block, and he didn't. That was on Daniel Jones, talking about the strip sack. And they have shown some progress at pass blocking, but when you see a game like what they had from Hubbard on Monday, that really skews it. So you have to look at what they are right now. What they are right now is a team that has basically a ghost at left tackle. They have nobody to block at left tackle, and that is a huge problem, obviously.
Yeah, that's a disaster. And it's not like the Commanders' edge pressure is a strength, but they've certainly been able to generate scheming up a whole lot of pressures with Frankie Louvu and some of the guys they bring downhill. So that seems opportunistic and pretty ideal for them. I mean, what's your prediction on the game, first of all? And if the Giants did somehow knock off Washington, how would they have done it?
Well, I think they just need a defensive or special teams score or an advantageous play, you know, in terms of putting their offense in position to have a really, really short field to just tap the putt in for a touchdown. And, geez, I mean, I don't know how much better of a position they got to put them in, but, like, maybe inside the 10? Can they score a touchdown inside the 10 if they get the ball there? I do think, you know, Jaden Daniels is a guy who has clearly grown up before everyone's eyes here exponentially week over week. He's a much better player even than he was in week two already, it seems like, just watching him from afar. And so I think this Washington offense will be more productive. Can they stop Brian Robinson? I mean, like, that's a big thing too, right? So I think the Giants will not score a ton of points. They're going to have to muck it up and win ugly like they were going to have to do in Pittsburgh. And so if the Giants win this game, it'll be with, I would say, you know, 21 or fewer points. So if they can win this game 21-20 or something like that, that's really their best shot. I think this Giant team is probably capping out at 24 points with the way their offense is playing. Now, are they going to hold Jaden Daniels and company to under 24? I don't think so. I think the Giants will probably lose this game, you know, by a touchdown or so, 31-24, 30-24, something like that, at best in terms of their offense, right? I think that's the best you can expect. If they win this game, then it will be, you know, I think an outstanding performance by their defense against a kid who is clearly one of the future stars in the NFL. And then I think you got to remember, too, for all the great things he's done, still a young quarterback. And so we see, you know, every time there's a great rookie quarterback like this, they can be prone to a hiccup here or there, and that's fine. That's understandable. You get that. But the thing that Washington's done, obviously, is they've bought themselves so much wiggle room here. And that's what the Giants did in Dable's first year. They started 6-1, then they started 7-2. And since 7-2 in 2022, Brian Dable is 10-21-1 in the regular season when playing his starters. That doesn't count Week 18 that first year because they breasted everybody. So, yeah, that gives you a lot of wiggle room for what you can do. The Giants wanted to make their playoffs 9-7-1. So, anyway, that's what I, you know, that's sort of how I think the recipe goes if the Giants are going to win this game. I don't think they will. I wouldn't be surprised if they do, but I don't think they will.
Daryl, you touched on this, and I'll let you out on this. Maybe the defensive plan, strategy here, right? Because this pass rush is so good, you want to set up times where they can get home. Do you expect them to be aggressive, blitzing downhill, keep everything in front, maybe a Brian Robinson game? Kind of how would you describe that defensive approach game plan for the Giants?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to blitz a ton. That's not really what Shane Bowen does compared to Wink Martindale, his predecessor. So they play a lot more zone coverage, and I think that that's kind of what you'll see in this game.
Great information. We appreciate the insight on the Giants. Thank you, Daryl.
Thanks, guys.
Be good. That's
appreciate
how you scout the Giants. Good insider there. By the way, there's not a lot about that team he likes. I mean, it's nice.
How's
not
your
to
offensive
be...
line? Bad.
Every answer started with, how's this part of the team? Terrible. Bad. Awful. Couldn't be us.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I felt that way. Wait, I'm being told last year.
Here's the thing. I've done that hit. So have you.
Yeah,
I've gone on another market. How is – oh, it's god-awful, you guys. How much time do you have? Oh, it's so bad. Not us.
But think about how different a year is, or even now a month is,
uh-huh.
Where the people that are coming on to talk to us from Carolina, from New York, it's like they're talking to the show in the town with the great team. Where they're like, oh, you guys have nothing to worry about. I still just don't really know how to do those conversations.
Uh-huh.
I've never done them. I don't know what I'm supposed to say, or do you feel bad for them? Do you take pity? Do you pat them on the head? It's weird to be great.
Yep. It's awkward. Like, I was there. I was where you were, Daryl Slater, not that long ago. I'm not there now, but I remember it.
We're going to use the FanDuel player props to play a little over or under next on Grant and Danny. In 40 minutes, your chance to win tickets to the Caps-Penguins game next Friday night. Everybody wants to go to. They're giving out 50th anniversary sweaters when you walk in the door. You're listening to The Fan.